All right, good morning, everybody. So, funny enough, our last song we sang, Power in the Blood, hopefully you all remember that. I'm going to come back to that a little later on. So, also, Pastor said something interesting. He said, open your heart. The last couple times I've preached, it's been on the subject matter of the heart, stony heart, joyful heart, different things like that. This, at least for now, will be the last one I do on the heart. And it's going to be comparing physical heart and spiritual heart, right? So if you would, start off with me. Proverbs 4. I'm just going to start with one verse, Proverbs 4:23. So your Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for the day that you've given us thus far. Thank you for keeping everybody safe during the storms that we had this morning and allowing us to arrive safely here, Lord. Just ask that through any church preaching your word, that your word be preached and it be heard, and that we do take it into our heart, Lord, and that we act upon it as well. Just ask that you be with all the services this morning and later on tonight as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I'm going to go off track a little bit just to mention something. Hopefully this is okay. Pastor won't get on me. The morning announcements, right? Hopefully everybody here takes an interest in the new pastor and candidates that we may have, and takes the opportunity, we're going to have someone here to speak, and takes the opportunity to ask questions or at least be here for questions that are asked. Hopefully we all have a stake in that. I hope that's why you're here. Obviously we don't want our pastor to retire, but it's got to happen. He needs a break. But the Lord uses us in different capacities. I was talking to pastor last week, and I mentioned since I've been here, I've only heard, I think, two times, it wasn't even the whole message, two times he mentioned tithing, right? And probably one of the best things I heard on tithing was he said, it's not about money, it's about giving 10% of what you can give, right? Whether that's your time, your talents, what God can use you for, right? And we all have that. So pretty sure at some point, whether it be in the morning, you have time to talk with him, or at night, you can have 10% of your time to be here, ask some questions, and talk with the person, right? And Brandon mentioned in Sunday school, he almost failed speech class, but he's up here doing a Sunday school, right? I'm terrified of public speaking, but yet somehow I'm roped into doing this up here, right? So if the two of us can do this morning, you guys can come and at least just listen to his answers. So, all right, we'll get back on track now. So this morning I want to look at a couple comparisons with the physical and the spiritual heart, and hopefully you all do a little bit of physical exercise to some extent, right? I like to, you know, pretend that I'm in shape and I'm not, and I go to the gym every now and then. I have a gym membership, right? So my cousin Gloria is in the back. Make sure you give her a hard time for being here, but she's like, oh, you go to the gym? Oh, yeah, I would love to go to the gym with you. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, all right. And then you realize how much you don't know, right? But it's good. She's been pushing me to do better and, you know, run further. I have bad knees, right? And anything I do that, I used to run 10 miles. I used to play soccer, right? And anything I do over 2.5-3 miles, my knees would just be on fire, right? Well, since Glory's been there and I don't want to look pathetic, now I'm able to do 5 miles, right? So I'm getting there. It's improvement. But your spiritual life is the same way, right? Things are going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to hurt, and you're going to have to put in a little bit of work and a little bit of spiritual exercise, and you get stronger. You can do more. The Lord can use you more, okay? So does anyone here know what sword drills are? Okay, all right. I got a few hands. Okay. So, this morning I would like everybody to participate. We're going to do a little bit of spiritual exercise. So everybody have their Bibles with them? If not, there are Bibles in the back. Brandon, if you don't mind, if people don't have Bibles, maybe pass them out. We're going to do some sword drills. So for those of you who don't know what a sword drill is, I'm going to give a verse, and you guys are going to turn to it. First person to find it is going to raise their hand, and I'm going to call on that person to read that verse. So it's going to make some people feel a little uncomfortable. I don't want to read out loud. It's okay. That was me about 10 years ago sitting in Micah's Sunday school. I didn't want to read out loud, but I also didn't want to lose. So, first verse I'm going to have you guys turn to, and these will have something to do with the message here. So, if you would, get your Bibles ready. So, 2 Timothy 2:15. Oh, Andrew. And there you go. So, my bad, Brent. I might not have seen you if you got it first. See, I got to keep a watchful eye. All right, so for those online, I'm going to have you read out loud, but I'm also going to read the verse as well so that people online can hear it as well. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, all right, everybody close your Bibles. Round 2. James 1:8. Very good. So, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, I got two more to do. So, everybody close your Bibles. All right, so number 3. So, Colossians 3:2. Oh, Miss Cookie. Very good. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. All right. Got one more. So close your Bibles. Last one. Psalms 28:7. Oh, my bad. Samantha's actually in the back. I was looking at. Very good. So, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him and am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. So, very good. To go along with that, if you would turn with me, we'll go to James 1:22. So James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So, first off, I want to say a lot of participation. I appreciate that, because sometimes you get up here and you ask somebody to do something, and everybody's like waiting for somebody else. So, I do appreciate that. So, that last one there, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." There are a lot of people going to churches that would have just sat here and listened and not participated, not try to look, because they're hearers only, right? Not saying that's everybody, but there's a lot of that going on. So, a little bit of spiritual exercise this morning, so thank you guys for participating. But exercise physically is good, right? So, and speaking with the heart, if you don't eat the right food, you don't do any physical exercise, you get a buildup in your arteries, could cause a heart attack. There's a lot of medical complications that could come with that, right? So it's the same thing spiritually. If you're not spending time, spiritual food, in God's Word and you're not doing spiritual exercise, you get yourself into a lot of trouble. So, a lot of verses, if y'all don't mind turning. I don't have long sections to read, but I do have verses to read. So, we're going to go to Luke, if you would. Luke 6:45. So Luke 6:45 says, "A good man, out of a good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." Right? So I mentioned about eating good food and doing exercise, right? Spiritually, if you're not doing those things, if you're not doing spiritual things, what are you doing? You're doing worldly things. Right? So out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth speaketh. So, interestingly enough, people at work this week didn't know that I was preaching, right? And so Friday, it was mentioned about a couple of them. If I could mention them in prayer, right? Because they're struggling with things they say out of their mouth, right? Paris and Adrian are the two guys. So they're having trouble. And I know there's another guy I work with having trouble with his mouth as well. It's like, man, I try, but I get around certain people and stuff just comes out, right? But the thing is, if you're not doing spiritual things and putting spiritual things in, that's what's going to come out. And it's hard. It is hard work, right? And when you suffer a small heart attack or a big heart attack physically, right, there's actually scars that are left. And those areas of your heart are now weakened. It's the same thing spiritually, right? You've come under attack, you have these problems, there's scars. There's people that you can talk to, saved individuals, and you can see the scars they have, right? And so that's things that they may struggle with the rest of their life, whether it be the language they use, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, it could be something like smoking, right? It's just things that could potentially hurt them physically, it lingers. It's the same thing spiritually, right? You let your guard down, you talk to someone about the Lord, and then something happens, and you feel like you were betrayed, or, you know, maybe the person leaves the church because there's a disagreement, and then next time you have visitors, it's kind of hard to open yourself back up, because you're afraid of getting hurt. So those are spiritual scars that you may have, but the thing is, you keep putting in God's Word and He can work with you. All right? Now, just like with your physical heart, you eat bad food, you get a plaque buildup in your arteries, right? That's what causes that heart attack. So if you're eating bad spiritually, same thing's going to happen to you. You become weak and susceptible. So, if you would, now I'm going to read the whole section I wanted to read in Proverbs. So we're going to go back to our first verse, Proverbs 4. And I'm going to read a little section here. So there's some warnings here about guarding your heart. So I'll give everybody a second to turn there. So Proverbs 4, starting in verse 14. So Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fail. I'm going to stop right there. If y'all know people like that, they just have to have some kind of drama going on. Otherwise, they can't sleep at night. It sounds crazy, but that's what your Bible says. I'm the opposite. When something's weighing on my mind, I cannot sleep. So guess what? I was preaching this morning. Guess how much I slept? No, but the Lord gives you a peace about these things. So, but yeah, these people who just cause up drama, stay away from them. Don't even get in their business. Don't even entertain it. So the verse 17. For they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are lifted; they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips; put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So, it's a lot of good information there. But it's saying, if you want to stay away from these things, right, you have to put something in. And medically, they'll tell you, if you stop an addiction, right, something that you've been doing all your life, you have to replace it with something. So, if you're going to try to get rid of sin out of your life, you have to replace it with something. So you replace it with God's Word. If you don't, you will not be successful. That sin will come back. You might be successful for a week, 2 weeks, 2 months. That's about it. It's going to come back. So, we as Christians need to exercise, get stronger, and do more, not just in our Bible reading, but really out in the world as well, right? Because your Bible reading is one part of it. If you're saved, Satan can't get your soul, but he can get your testimony, right? Or just trip you up. So, I like to turn to this verse a lot. I think it tells a lot about our enemy. So if you would, turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. My Bible's falling apart. So 1 Peter 5:8, we get a good look at the devil here. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So I did a study a while back. I used this verse. And this is actually what sprung it, was why lions, right? And so, it does say as a lion, but what it is lions are stealthy, they're sneaky. They sneak up on their prey, and they pounce. That's what happens to you if you're not on guard. The devil or his minions are waiting to pounce, and they will take that opportunity, right? So, I'm going to pair this with Ephesians 5. If you would, turn to Ephesians 5. See, now y'all know why we warmed up with the sword drills. Make sure everybody was ready to go this morning. But Ephesians 5, we're going to read here in verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How do you know what the will of the Lord is? You got to be in here, and you got to be reading what His will is, right? Also, take note of that word circumspectly. It's a pretty important word. I asked the question. I didn't know what it meant. I asked Pastor a long time ago. He said it means to be alert. Right? You let your guard down, that lion's going to pounce. So walk circumspectly and then be wise in what the Lord wants you to do. So another example I can use, because maybe you're like, well, lions, we don't deal with lions in Florida. Why would we ever have to worry about that? Wish Frank was here. He could potentially agree or correct me on this, but we live in Florida. We deal with a lot of gators. I know your Bible's not saying gators here, but gators go under the water. They sneak up on their prey. and it can be right next to you. It won't do anything. That gator is inherently a lazy creature, and it will wait till you're unsuspecting, or it will wait until you're in its territory, further in the water, whatever's easiest for it to attack you. Right? So, this is a true story. Fishing with my dad. Sometimes we didn't make the best decisions. And we all get in a canoe. Hadn't been in it for about 5-6 years. Well, you know, last time I was in the canoe, I was like 5 or 6. My older brother's in his early teens. Well, now we're all teenagers. We weigh a little more. My dad's like, oh, we're not going that far. We're just going to go out of that island over there and cast our lines in, right? We were about that close to the water coming into our boat. I'm like, we can make it, right? If you ever have to say, I think we can make it, you shouldn't do it right off the bat, right? But we decided we're going to go for it, right? Here comes a boat speeding by us in the wake of that boat. Splashed a little water in. It was just enough weight for our canoe to start sinking, right? So my dad's paddling as fast as he can back to the shore, right? And we have bait buckets, Mountain Dew cans, whatever we have to start scooping water out to try to make it back to shore, right? Next thing you know, we see a gator behind us. Now, the gator could have got us at any point, right? But it didn't, because we're not fully in the water yet. And we're almost back to shore. We look back, and there's another gator behind us. Two of them, right? And I think by the end of it, there end up being 3 gators, one for each of us, right? Right behind us. And sure enough, as soon as our canoe hits the sand and we jump out, those gators actually turned and went the other way. Because now it's not easy for them, right? The devil's going to do the same thing with us. He's going to challenge us when we're easy prey. But if you're ready and you fight back, you may get into some uncomfortable battles. But you need to learn how to hold your own, right? So, if you will, we're over here in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Not going to read the whole armor of God, although I suggest you do read it. But I'm just going to look at verse 10 through 12. So, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, it says, be strong in the Lord. Don't try to do it yourself. Be strong in the Lord. Don't fall for all the crazy stuff going on out there. Crazy religions come in. And I will tell you from experience, when someone gets saved, suddenly all these false religion people show up at their doorstep. So it will happen. You'll talk to somebody. Hopefully you'll see someone saved. Or if you're newly saved, you're going to get some kind of false religion show up at your door and try to mess you up with your doctrine. So, be strong in the Lord. And to do that, I want to go over the verses on the sword drills that we went over, right? So, in order, the verses that I had you guys look up. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You have to choose. You on God's side or you on the world's side? You can't be both. Colossians 3. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Because if your affection is on things here, you're going to be easily swayed. And then Psalms 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song, I will praise Him. So, that actually goes along with Brandon's Sunday school as well. I would suggest, if you weren't here for that, that you go back and listen to it. Hopefully our audio was able to catch it. So, I had you guys look those up for a reason, and that's why. Right? It goes right here. You have to do a little bit of work and a little bit of study, but these things can come to your mind. And it's amazing when you're talking with somebody, whether it be witnessing to somebody or fending off an attack, the verses that will come back to your memory. I'll tell you guys right now, I'm horrible at memorizing Bible verses. And Micah taught us, you know, do it to a tune of a song, and you can remember it, right? And I can try, but I'm out here looking crazy anytime I want to remember how to fight somebody off if I'm trying to sing a song, right? You know, but if you pray about it, the Lord actually brings stuff back to your memory. And you'd be amazed, and suddenly you're like, I don't even know when I studied this out, but I know where that verse is. And that's the Holy Spirit. So, I had some extra side notes that I think I do want to go over, talking about blood flow, right? How important that is for your heart, for your all the your blood to be flowing properly to get the nutrition to where it needs to go. So, didn't mean to go down this route in studying, but this just kind of happened. But you know, even in churches, they try to take out the blood because it's a negative. That's the craziest thing to me, right? So, if you would go to Colossians 1, I'm gonna read it. So Colossians 1:14. So it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay. The in his blood is very important. Especially if you've read your Old Testament, you understand that it's set up to understand that sin is a very bloody thing, right? It was the blood of Jesus that paid for our sins, right? If Jesus didn't bleed and die on that cross, we don't have forgiveness of sins. You take that blood away, and you got some false doctrine. So I just looked up, I just chose a fairly common Bible version, so the NIV. It says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you're missing entirely the, we have redemption through his blood. Growing up in school, I had a teacher who refused to grade any of our papers in red pen because that was a negative thing, right? So I'd have all my tests come back and they'd be in red, whether good or bad, right? Questions I got, you know, marked off were in red, of course, you know. But then I'd get one that was in green. Makes you feel like you did a good job. You didn't do a good job, but you got all those questions wrong. So when you're going through your Bible and you realize that Jesus bled and died for you, you realize you did something wrong. That's why Jesus had to come. So, just a crazy thing that they would take out. And then, of course, hopefully you guys know this one. This is a pretty common difference. I decided to stick with the NIV. If you would turn to Acts 8. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this one for me, why I end up going to this when I talk to people about the issue of what Bibles they should use. I do believe you can get saved out of other Bibles. I'm not saying that, but I do think there is a Bible that you should use, and it's your 1611 King James. There's too many differences, there's too many things changed and taken out, and your Bible warns you not to change a jot or tittle of God's Word. And I'm going to read here in the, I'm going to pull it up, I have it saved here. I'm going to actually read it out of the NIV. You guys tell me if you see anything wrong. So we're going to start here in Acts 8, verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, let me start with some background. Ethiopian eunuch is traveling and is reading, can't understand what he's reading. So he asked for some help, and he's asking how he can be saved. Okay, so verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And the next verse says, and he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Hopefully you all saw something very wrong with that. I'm missing a lot of words. So, missing verse 37. In verse 37 reads, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why would you take that out of your Bible? So the question that was asked me when I asked the question, what's really the difference? I use this King James Bible because it was given to me when I was 18. Thank the Lord, that's what my mom gave me. And this is what I use. I use it, but what's really the difference? And I was told to do one thing. Look at changes that are done and ask yourself, does it glorify God or does that change glorify Satan? Who benefits from it? So I'll ask the same question. When you read this, does God or Satan benefit from the absence of verse 37? So, I mean, that changes the complete message of salvation. So that kind of sold me on that when I read that one. Some are much more subtle, and that's how Satan is. He's very subtle. But that's a pretty big one. It's about as big as it gets. And that's just Satan being a roaring lion looking, seeking whom he may devour, right? And that's how you wouldn't know any better with false doctrine. So, you've gone through some stuff. You have these heart problems physically, spiritually, right? Keeping that in mind, if you would, go to Matthew 9. I'll try to get through these fairly quickly. So Matthew 9, verse 12 and verse 13. But when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, the Pharisees here, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They saw themselves as, well, we do all the sacrifices, we're good, right? Well, no, you're not good. Jesus came to save sinners. Well, that's every single person in here. If you will, we're going to look. Think about that in your mind and go with me to Romans 3. We're going to read verse 23 through 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. They didn't understand that. I'm not saying they thought they were perfect, but they thought, well, we don't need someone to stand in for sin for us, right? They didn't understand they had to come to Jesus, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, it's always a heart problem, right? Spiritually, it's always a heart problem. If you're having an issue spiritually, and then you need to get your heart right with God. So, couple verses when you're having these issues. If you would, go to Psalms 139. Psalm 139, I'm going to look at verse 23 here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, open your heart to God. If you're having a heart attack, right, you need to have open heart surgery. Let God be the one to do that spiritually for you. Right? Let Him go in there and search your heart and tell you where you need to go. You don't have to turn if you want to. You can. It's in Ezekiel 36. And there's a couple ways you can look at passages. I'm using the practical application of this passage. I know there's a prophetical and historical as well. But Ezekiel 36:26, this is how you can apply this to your life. So verse 36 says, oh, I might have the wrong one. Sorry, Ezekiel 36:26. So verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Let the Lord go in there and do open heart surgery, take out the stony heart, get in his word, and then follow his will. But that's on you, just like it's on me, to go to him and say, search my heart, show me your ways. So I just want to end with this thought here. The wages of sin is death, right? But it's the gift of God is eternal life. Okay? So you go to the doctor because you're sick, but you go to Jesus because you're a sinner. You go to the surgeon to save your life, but you go to Jesus to save your soul. So I'm going to close this in prayer, Pastor, unless you have anything.